Okay, here's something from Colossians. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, where the Apostle Paul talks about, we cease not to pray for you. We'll be talking more about prayer too, and Thessalonians here today. But in Colossians 1, 9 and 10, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, the apostles are referencing your refuge to their stewardship. And through this, you gain your wisdom. Now, those in a false religious system read the scriptures independently of the stewardship. And by doing this, their extrapolation, it will always end up in error, because they have left out the important element for this oversight and also for the scale of the discernment, which is through stewardship. That's what he talks about here when he says all knowledge, because we know that has to do with facts. This knowledge is facts which are consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, without these facts, there's no direction. We need direction for mobility. So he says here an understanding which has to do with the setting order to these facts. Setting order to these facts also gives us direction, which we see through the stewardship. And that's why he says here the word walk. See, the word walk there is your mobility. Okay, he says you might walk worthy of the Lord, being competent, complete, to sanctify tokens, for those things which bear the name of the Lord. Okay, unto all pleasing, because it's meeting his expectation. Faith pleases God. Faith meets God's expectations. And by doing these things, you increase in fruit bearing. And that's what he says, being fruitful. Your fruit bearing is through your priesthood, the tokens of your charity, offered upon the altar of the soul. Okay, brings forth fruit, the circumcision of the heart. Okay, every good work increasing in knowledge of God. All right, so we can see the blessedness which is concealed within this, okay, is manifested through your charity. That which is concealed in the heart is revealed through the lips. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, if you want to make any notes on that. Okay, before the bell rings, why don't we read something here? Okay, out of the Psalms of Solomon. Okay, so we'll read something from there. Okay, Psalms of Solomon, chapter 15. And this is what he says. The fruit of the lips is the well-tuned instrument of the tongue, the first fruits of the lips from a pious and righteous heart. Now he that offers these things shall never be shaken by evil. For the mark of God is upon the righteous, that they may be saved. Okay, which has to do with the fruit of the lips and giving thanksgiving. Okay, concerning the fruit of the lips. In fact, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul talked about, that. Okay, so he validated, okay, that which the anointing gave Solomon 1,000 years ago, okay, to that which is at the present time. And I'll read it again here. The fruit of the lips is the well-tuned instrument of the tongue. Okay, the first fruits of the lips from a pious and a righteous heart. Now he that offers these things shall never be shaken by evil, which is false knowledge. For the mark of God is upon the righteous, that they may be saved. Okay, reading something from Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Okay, we'll start around verse 10. Okay, we'll pick up where we left off there, what has to do with the glory of his power. The anointing, that which increases the value of your soul. The anointing is that which increases the value of your soul. But those which lack the anointing lacks the very power for the increase. And therefore they do not bear the mark of the Lord. Those that increase bear the mark of the Lord. They also carry the yoke of his blessedness. As Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The yoke of blessedness is Jesus Christ, who is the full token. He is the full token of our faith, because everything dwells within him. All the types and shadows of that first covenant, okay, were put within one vessel. Okay, from the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of sacrifice, the altar of incense, to the Ark of the Covenant, okay, that bears the tokens that represent him, which has to do with the government, the truth, and the spirit. The rod of Aaron, okay, the pot of manna, and the tables of the covenant. Okay, all those things, they are put within Jesus Christ, the fullness of him. and we dwell within him, and by this fullness we're complete. Okay, so here we see, as we pick up here in verse 10, now when he shall come, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints. So I like the word glorified there. Get ready to take some of these notes here, for this is for your reflection and sacrifices of charity even through the week, that you can continually build with these things and bond, okay, with the kingdom of God. You're bonding with his kingdom through these things, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God, the sanctified tokens that bear his name, okay, as a Urim and Thummim. The Urim and the Thummim, okay, were etched okay, with the mark that the priesthood bore. Okay, that which the mark the priesthood bore, it would be the voice of the Lord. And his voice is in the tokens. His voice is in the tools. Okay, those things which he sanctifies. How did the word glorified there? Okay, in verse 10. Now, when he shall come, that's when he returns, which he's going to physically return, we know that. And when he visits, which he visits very often, his people, his saints. He visits us and gives us gifts. And through these visitations, we begin to know him. We know him through his gifts, okay, the things which he offers. Okay, and God doesn't offer anything that is concealed in pretense. He offers those things which are in truth and those things which validate him. When he shall come to be glorified in the saints. I like the word glorified there because you'll be underlining the word and highlighting the word glorified also in verse 12. When he shall come to be glorified in the saints. Okay, to put in, when he visits us now, by his visitations to move us into a greater value of his joy. This is to move us into a greater value of his joy. This is what Jesus was speaking about with his apostles. It's concerning the joy. I kept them in your name, okay, and that my joy might be fulfilled in them. I kept them in thy name, and in the Gospel of John. I kept them in thy name, and also that your joy may be full. Okay, and also the Father's joy might be full. So we can see an equal exchange for increase. Equal exchange for increase is given through the tokens, or you could say God's monetary system. His monetary system, okay, is that which purchases us. Okay, it purchases us. Okay, we are purchased or redeemed through his blood. So there's a line of investments through these tokens. Every token he gives is an investment of our Father concerning the increase of his kingdom. So how did the word glorified there in verse 10? That when, of course, when he shall come here, when Jesus shall come, when he visits the saints, and this is also to move us into a greater value, to be glorified in his saints, this increase. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe. I like the word admired there. Okay, because this is an amazing witness of transformation. Amazing witness of transformation. What he births within us bears his image, and we reciprocate in kind, bearing the image of Jesus Christ. Okay, and to be admired in all them that believe. Okay, this transformation is according to this true hope, which he gave to us. This is our testimony, as the Apostle Paul says here, as stewards. This is our testimony. Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, we see that in verse 1. This is our testimony among you, because you accepted this. By accepting this knowledge, you're also investing within this testimony, the testimony to stewardship. Through the testimony to stewardship, your circumcision is validated and sanctified. But outside of that, it becomes defiled and misleading, as we're going to be studying here in a moment, okay, in the book of Genesis, okay, Genesis chapter 17, okay, which brings to our mind concerning this circumcision of Isaac and the circumcision of Ishmael. Okay, one which has to do with pretense, the other has to do with promise, that which is under the anointing. When he shall come to be glorified in the saints, verse 10 again, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you is believed in that day. This is the knowledge that is the cleansing baptism of your faith. This knowledge is your baptism. This knowledge is a cleansing baptism of your faith. Even as the high priest, upon the offering of the sacrifices, okay, upon that altar, had to go through the cycles of his own cleansing, okay, removing the garments, the clothes which he would wear, common clothes, okay, and put on those things which are sanctified. He had to go through a cleansing process, the washing of the hands by the bath. Okay, that's why they had Solomon created this large bath there for the purpose of this cleansing. Okay, and it represents this knowledge. The knowledge of your cleansing. This is the true baptism. The cleansing and purifying of your conscience. Okay, not that which is of the flesh, but that which is of the soul. The conscience. Okay, now, that which is the first covenant could not reach, okay, within that the cleansing process of the conscience. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came for the purging of the conscience for this baptism and this adoption, okay, which that first covenant couldn't do. Okay, the first covenant was had to do with the offering of carnal things for the flesh. Okay, but Jesus offered himself in the flesh for the spiritual things of our adoption. Okay, that now free from those things which brought condemnation, we now embracing those things which bring justification of faith. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe. See the word believe there. So I like the word believe there in verse 10, because we're talking about acknowledge, mold with, and submitting to. Okay, it takes more than just an acknowledgement of God's existence or an acknowledgement of a divine hand in creation. Okay, the word believe here has to do with a form of commitment of bearing a yoke. So we're acknowledging, molding with, and submitting to. This term, okay, deployment, okay, which is, has to do with the activity and our mobility at the altar of Jesus Christ, of how we are applying these things. So the word believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Okay, so the word glorified here in the saints has to do with the blessedness of Abraham's circumcision, because that's where your circumcision begins. The circumcision doesn't begin at the spark. The circumcision is within the fire. Okay, it's within the fire, the altar of fire. It's not in the spark that leads to the fire, but it's in the fire itself. Okay, which circumcision allows us to gain entrance into the courts of God's temple and to be embraced of him in his throne. So be glorified in his saints. To increase the house of our Father is to be fruitful and to multiply. That commandment still stands true today, as it does to eternity, to be fruitful and to multiply. To be fruitful and to multiply is a divine act for the purpose of bearing his face. Okay, bearing his face and vessels, okay, that be filled with his virtue. Okay, the consenters, which we are today. We have consented to these divine terms, okay, that we bear the face of the invisible Father within the communication of our charity, though we be in the forms of flesh. But through this form of exchange, okay, we are sanctified, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out, that you be sanctified wholly, spirit, soul, and body. So to be glorified in the saints is the blessedness of Abraham's circumcision, by the gift which God promised and gave by the anointing Isaac, that ever increases, is fruitful, and multiply, which equals this, the stars of heaven and pillars of his gate. The stars of heaven and pillars of his gate. And now let's go on to verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you. So I like the word pray always. We, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, it goes back to verse 1. So through this form of petitioning, okay, there's a bonding. Okay, and through this form of bonding, there's an association. Okay, there's association which sanctifies you. All those that be joined to the house of David were sanctified. All those that be joined to the house of Moses were sanctified. All those that be joined to the house of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob were sanctified, because it was through this, the sanctification of this joining and stewardship that the circumcision now bore a value. Outside of that, it did not bear the value. Okay, because we see that that which is given to Ishmael was of a temporary nature. He bore 12 sons. Okay, and through these sons, he became a great nation, a nation that would be always in conflict. Okay, and this is what God prophesied, and this is what we even see today. Okay, a nation of great conflict. Every brother against his brother. That was prophesied, okay, within his circumcision. And we see that which is prophesied in the circumcision of the false prophets, that there's conflict within them concerning the true stewardship and the true covenant. So wherefore also we pray. Hide the word pray there. We pray always for you, and the same thing which I do daily. Okay, each one of us, okay, every day, our name is brought in petition, okay, and in prayer before the face of our Father over 100 times, not by myself alone, but by all those which are sanctified, all those that be in the house of Eva, all those that be under the sanctified stewardship. Okay, their names are brought before the face of our Father 100 times a day. Take confidence in that. Okay, your name is before the face of the Lord. Take confidence in that. You can trust in that, that the Lord is indeed with you, okay, whether visible or invisible. Okay, he is with you. So therefore, Paul says, wherefore we, Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, pray always for you, because this is your joy, that through the stewardship that shows a servitude. Now, so I had the word pray there, because it's a form of servitude. It shows servitude. Okay, true prayer shows servitude. And through this form of servitude, we gain access. The true servitude, or being humble, remember, humble yourselves in the eyes of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Okay, and so the grace of God, okay, brings us to that point of servitude, of being humble, true humility. False humility stands within the aspiration and pretense, okay, of the false religious system. Okay, that which they design through the forms of their own theology is the yoke which they're bearing, which they feel is their humility, being humble. And when we show resistance against their yoke, they claim that we are not being humble. Okay, no, I'm not bearing the yoke of your theology, because I already have a yoke on me, okay, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I'm bearing this yoke of this house, okay, and the knowledge of this covenant, that which bears his name in truth. Okay, that which bears his name in truth and not in pretense. Okay, those which are outside of the covenant bear his name in pretense. We which are in the covenant, in the house of the Lord, okay, bear it in truth. So wherefore also we pray always for you, okay, because this servitude, the servitude of our petitions, is the yoke and joy which we bear, that our God, being fire charity, remember, fire charity, by fire charity, he's governing our destiny. We call it fire charity because God is a consuming fire. And we call it charity because God is love. Right? God, the fire charity is the crown of the righteous. But, okay, that which is of his wrath is the crown of the wicked. The crown of the wicked is the wrath of God upon them. Okay, but the crown of his charity is upon that of the righteous. Wherefore also we pray always for you that are God. He's governing your destiny through this fire charity. These are things which he selected for your works, that the God would count you worthy. See the word count. These were selected works for you to make you competent before him. Okay, and therefore he would make you worthy. You would mirror his face. You mirror his face through this form of servitude. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God will count you worthy of his calling. Worthy of his calling. This is the house of his refuge for the remission of sins. And this is what Jesus was communicating to Peter. Whosoever your sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Jesus speaking to the chief elder and apostleship of Peter, the stewardship of Peter, was already revealing to him those which refuse the stewardship, though you be your previous form of employment was being a fisherman, you were not raised in a form of education of the former theology, the theology schools of the Pharisees, okay, or the Sadducees or the Essenes. Your perspective wasn't bent upon that form of theology, okay, whereas your form of discernment is sustained and living by my anointing, okay, which comes to the stewardship. Okay, the discernment based upon one's theology is always bent, to comply, okay, or to consent to that form of theology. The false religious system and every denomination, their scale is the theology, okay, which they have created for their discernment. Okay, and those which don't consent to that scale are considered to be a cult or outside of their form of salvation. Okay, we can see that many denominations, okay, promote that form of theology, and their basis of salvation is bent, okay, upon that broken scale. Okay, it's a broken scale because it doesn't have the face of Christ, but it has a face of that particular author of that denomination. Okay, would it be Luther or be Wesley or will there be numerous other names? Okay, which we can see were around the 15th century, there was a lot of debate. Okay, among the chief theologians of their colleges, there's a lot of debate in there as concerning water baptism and the partaking of communion. Okay, there's a lot of debate over that. And these, champion theologians, like Goliath was a champion for the Philistines. Okay, these theologians were champions as the other own denominations, what they began and what they promoted. Okay, but this did not make them worthy of his calling. Well, so this is what we're coming against. Okay, as the first 8th week came against the mountains of false theology, we also are coming against the mountains of the mother of harlots. Now, she that was of the wilderness is the mountains of transgression and the mountains of blasphemy. Okay, that's what we're coming against. But the mountain of the Lord, it will fill the earth. Okay, we can see that the stone was cut out of this mountain. Okay, and it will fill the whole earth with knowledge. It will break in pieces the idols of evil knowledge. Okay, and subdue. Okay, it will subdue the preachers of error. Okay, but it will raise up those of righteousness, even as the last resurrection. And this is what Jesus was talking about the resurrection and last day. So wherefore, verse 11, we also pray for always for you. So make sure you hide the word pray there. That our God would count you worthy. We pray for this worthiness, the worthiness of his calling. Okay, that which he set within the stewardship and that which you're acknowledging and submitting to. Okay, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Hide the word pleasure there. That you may be partaker of this competency and wholesomeness. Partaker of this competency and wholesomeness. In other words, you meet the standard. Okay, your faith meets the standard. And that standard is his righteousness. Okay, meaning the standard of his righteousness has to do, okay, with the scale of holiness, which is Jesus Christ. Worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness. Cite the word pleasure there, because this is the joy of his plan. The pleasure of his goodness to be completed in him and all things. And the work of faith with power. Cite the word work of faith with power there. The effects of this work, the work of regeneration and the work of faith with power. This is the divine hand of God in molding your salvation within you as a potter molds the clay. The completed product shows the skills of his craftsmanship, and we are the completed product of the skills of Jesus' craftsmanship. Okay, and we also will be admired before all creation. Even the angels themselves will admire the sparkle of his work within you, because we will bear the value of his craftsmanship. Okay, and he's crafting within us this divine work of regeneration. Now, the false religious system, their gospel centers upon certain selected themes like water baptism, that's a selected theme, healing, that's a selected theme, tithing, that's a selected theme, water baptism, that's a selected thing. Okay, that's not Jesus's fullness. The selected things are not his fullness. And when you preach the gospel of this divine covenant, you're preaching the fullness of Jesus Christ. The fullness of Jesus Christ covers all things. Okay, he is our covering. He covers all these things concerning the healing. Okay, concerning also the tithing of your charity. Why? Concerning the baptism of this knowledge. Concerning the communion of this truth, which we share one with another through this charity. That the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go back up here for a second. Work of faith with power. Hide the word faith and power. The work of faith. This has to do with the divine working. Divine working, when he says the word faith right here, it says the fruit. Now remember, there's three manifestations of faith. Okay, and this is the fruit of faith here. Okay, the fruit of faith, the doctrine of faith, okay, which is also truth. Okay, and also the gift of faith. The gift of faith is when the angel of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord, works with you in its specific area for a specified period of time. As we see in the book of Acts. Okay, the gift of faith was present concerning Peter's shadow. The gift of faith is present concerning the aprons, or Paul's apron, as another example. The gift of faith was present also in casting out devils. Okay, the angel of the Lord worked within you within that season of capacity, but that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we call the gift of faith, which works within that particular thing. Now, the Apostle Paul brings these things out and considers their value for us. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, though I have all faith so I could move mountains and have that charity, I'm nothing. Okay, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have that charity, okay, I'm becoming as a sounding brass and a tingling cymbal, which means it's something that's indistinguishable. Okay, it doesn't bear the voice of the Lord. It's indistinguishable. So we can see that the Apostle Paul emphasized charity as a divine working of the work of regeneration, which is in covenant what you're doing, okay? Which means you're partaking of his fullness in truth, and that your salvation is sealed in this house, okay, and through the stewardship. Okay, and that's what he says, the work of faith with power. Why, the peace of God will accompany you through this process and through this journey. Even as the children of Israel had the peace of God, okay, when they viewed the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, the anointing which accompanied them was through the stewardship, and they obeyed his voice. So we go on here. The anointing of his gifts also make you whole in him. Okay, the anointing of his gifts make you whole in him. Okay, that the name, so I have the word name there, and you can draw a line, the word name there, to the word power, faith and power in the name. Okay, so the holy knowledge takes the form of the sanctified shekel. The sanctified shekel. Now, the sanctified shekel of that first covenant was a unit of measure in regarding all things of the temple and commerce of the people. Trade and purchase, the economics. The shekel was a token, okay, which was assigned to the temple, which we used, okay, with common things, sanctified things and common things. Okay. Our prayers also involve sanctified things and common things. As you pray for the things concerning the covenant, as well as also one for another. Praying one for another is the sanctified things, which has to do with the scope of the covenant. Okay, also our personal things, that which is common. The shekel is profitable, okay, for both. Okay, both holy and that which is common. Okay, it's a unit of measure, which God sanctified. When we talk about the shekel, we're not talking about as concerning the coin, we're talking about your charity. Your charity is profitable unto all things, okay, which has to do with all things of sanctification. Even as Chief Elder and Apostle Peter talked about, okay, the great and precious promises, those things which are directly tethered to the kingdom of God, and those things which, okay, involve also our personal life. Okay, the great and precious promises, even the eternal things. And so the name, so I have the word name there, the sanctified shekel of his house, and the kingdom and token, and the true token of ownership. I like the word name there. The name of what? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when he talks about the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not talking about his concerning its semantic pronunciation, okay, as we see in a false religious system. Okay, they feel that if God's name is pronounced properly, okay, in the semantic languages, okay, that there is some kind of a standard and level of approval, okay, within that form of engagement, which is not true. They could pronounce it properly and still go to hell. This is what Jesus is speaking about, is concerning the Pharisees, that they were the children of the devil, being the children of hell. That's where they're at today. No matter how much they could pronounce the name of Jehovah or Yehovah or Yeshua or Yahweh, okay, no matter how they could pronounce that, didn't validate. Because they were outside the covenant. Their faith stood outside the covenant, but their faith stood in one thing, their theology. Their faith was their theology. Their faith wasn't the covenant. See, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is faith of the covenant. Tokens of his anointing. It's a sustaining, eternal sustaining work of regeneration, okay, and the divine circumcision of promise. Okay, that which came through Sarah and not that which came through Hagar. We'll be going there in a moment. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified. And there's the word glorified again. So hide the word glorified because we're talking about the real substance. His real substance is formed in you by this power. Okay, even as Isaac was a substance which was put upon the altar. He was going to be the door. Okay, the stewardship which is going to follow that, which is the faith of Abraham, okay, was going to be the door of stewardship and priesthood. Isaac was a door. Okay, the door of stewardship and priesthood. We have the same thing today. We are the children of promise. We're the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, as Isaac was upon the altar, you also are the door. Jesus stands in the door of your conscience, approving of those things which are sanctified. Proving those things which are sanctified, this knowledge of truth. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you. See the word glorified again. Because the substance that's ever increasing, the glory of the Lord. And this is what we see in the book of Revelation. He talks about blessing and glory and honor and wisdom and thanksgiving being to him that sits upon the throne and the Lamb. Okay, this is a form of reciprocation. Even as the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, and which is to come. Okay, the Almighty. That form of reciprocation, okay, bears this knowledge and message. Okay, the message of his plan. The eternal plan, which was in the bosom and fulfilled, and returns to his bosom, which is, which was, and which shall be. Okay, the Lamb of God. Okay, and we will be as tokens of his crown. We will be forever with him. Wherever the Lamb is, that's where we're also. If he's with you now, okay, and you're with him, then you'll be also with him through eternity, now and forever. The name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified you in him. Okay, I just brought that out. Okay, that's by this power. Okay, by this power, this is a form of engagement, okay, which is perpetual. Okay, it will be carried forth through the baptism of light. Glorified in you and you in him. Now, Jesus established that from the bosom to the bosom. Okay, when he was in the form of the flesh to perform the task of providing us this record of faith. Okay, as the also chief elder apostle John brings out, okay, the three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Okay, the true record was established in the very beginning and be sustained through eternity. Okay, and your cycles of growth bear testimony to that. That which was his last year now has increased, okay, into the point of this year. Okay, that which is last year now has increased to the point where you're at right now in this year. Okay, so you're glorifying the Lord. So the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to what? This grace. This is Abraham's blessedness, and this grace here is the revelation of the Father. The revelation the Father put in himself for your redemption. That redemption in the fire charity of his throne. This is the fire charity, the throne of God's love. Okay, God is love. Okay, as the apostle, chief elder John brings out, okay, God is love. Okay, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go now to Jeremiah. We'll be talking about the word name there in Jeremiah chapter 23. You can keep your marker here in Thessalonians, because we'll be coming back here to close. But in Jeremiah chapter 23, we'll be reading a few verses here from 9 to 32. We're going to see the conflict that existed between that which is the sanctified circumcision and the unsanctified circumcision. What unfolded in the days of Jeremiah before the captivity took place there in the Babylon, that which took place then is the same thing or same scenario that's unfolding today. Okay, the true covenant stewardship against the false covenant, okay, or the false stewardship. Okay, of those which are not in covenant, we call it the false covenant, the false agreements. Okay, they want to make the rules. Okay, those that make the rules are in the house of Baal. Well, let's read about that. We'll start. Everybody should be there now. We're going to start with verse 9. We're in Jeremiah. Okay, if you open your Bibles there, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 9. Okay, so we're going to read through this here concerning the house of the Lord. Okay, now my heart here, Jeremiah responds here. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Because of the prophets, all my bones shake. When he says all my bones shake, it's because the false prophets, okay, are removing the nails to the house. They're removing the points of confidence that the people have in the house of the Lord. And these points of confidence are like nails. Okay, a nail. So the righteous are affixed in the house of the Lord. We are as a nail fixed in the house of the Lord. Okay, now the false prophets are removing these nails. And we remove the nails from the structure grows weak. And that's why he says, all my bones shake. Okay, I'm observing something right here. What Jeremiah is saying, I'm observing something here, that the house of the Lord is about ready to collapse. The false prophets are removing tokens of our faith from that which is of the house of the Lord into that which is of Baal. He says, I'm like a drunken man. I'm like a man whom wine has overcome, okay, or made sick. Because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. Okay, then when he says the words of his holiness has to do with the tokens which by which we are accepted of him. the tokens which God sanctified by the angel of his presence, okay, now they are contaminated by that which is the prince of darkness. Okay, the prince of darkness now rules rules in this house, that which is now the house of Sodom and the place of Gomorrah. Okay, in fact, he's going to bring that out. Okay, and it goes on here, so the words of his holiness. The land is full of adulterers. Now we know, when he says they're full of adulterers, you talk about those now, they're raising a different family now. Okay, rather than raising that which is the house of God, to raising that which is the house of Baal. Okay, the land is full of adulterers. We see the same thing today. Okay, adultery are those which are committed to build outside of that which God sanctified. They want God's favor so that they'll talk about the Bible. Okay, but at the same time, they're pursuing that which is the tokens of aspiration, which is outside of his house. That is what he talks about as adulterers. The fornicators are those which take a little bit here and a little bit there and try to bring it to the house of God. So here, the apostle, or Jeremiah, okay, the stewardship of Jeremiah is bringing this to the attention of these false prophets. Okay, you're taking tokens here and you're building another family outside of God's family. Okay, these will be children of confusion. The land is full of adulterers. The land is full of children of confusion. Children of confusion are born not knowing their father. The land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourns. We see this today. Because of false oaths. Okay, and because of these false oaths, the oath of God is being broken. And this being broken is bringing conflict, as we see today. Tornadoes and floods and fires and riots and war. War, famine, and pestilence. Because of swearing, the land mourns. Okay, the land itself wants to vomit out its inhabitants. So places become cities, even whole cities, portions of cities become desolate. And we can see that, okay, in the turning of the century, even like, as an example, like New York, okay, in New York City by the 1960s, we can see that large portions of New York, okay, are already falling into great decay. So they had to initiate, new building programs in order to facelift the whole city, okay, and make it safe and habitable. When a city falls into decay, crime rises. Okay, and by the rising of crime, it begins to eat away at the from the edges of the city into the very heart of the city. Like one of those Pac-Man games. Okay, whereas the Pac-Man there, the little token there is chewing away. That's what evil knowledge does. It chews away at a society, corrupts it from the outside of it. It chews right to the very heart of it, where government is corrupt. For the land is full of adulterers. This is what Jeremiah is observing happening in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. For because of swearing, and the land mourns, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up. The rich estates of the wealthy are now becoming nothing more than stones and sand. The walls are crumbling. Okay, the land is being overgrown with thorns and briars. The wild animals are returning. And wild animals are attacking people. Their course is evil. Their force is not right. The power is unfolding is not that of the anointing of the Lord, but a demon. For both prophet and priest are profane, verse 11. They're taken to the snare of self-importance. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house, there's the word house there, I have found their wickedness, saith the Lord. This is what God is doing today. And regarding the seals. Okay, the seals there of chapter 6 of Revelation. Okay, and the seals in Revelation there, the four horsemen there, are by God's orders and assignment, are going throughout the earth. And they're bringing about economic ruin. They're bringing about war. They're bringing about riot, okay, and disease, okay, and animal attacks. Okay, in the book of Genesis, we can see God put within the beast kingdom to avoid Adamites. Okay, but when it's turned, okay, the beast turned against the sinner. And we can see that in a case where the anointing upon Samson subdued the beast. The anointing subdues the beast. And we can see because the anointing was upon the stewardship of Daniel that the mouths of the lions were shut. Okay, but we can also see that but the wicked, not having the seal and the mark of God upon them, became food for the lion. Even as the gang of kids, 40 kids, teenagers there, in the days of Elisha, Okay, they were mocking Elisha, the new steward. They were mocking him. Okay, and two she-bears came out of the woods and killed him. Okay, tore him apart. They couldn't get away. Okay, so they became food to the beasts of the field. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. Hide the word slippery ways. There'll be ice on the steps. Okay, in the night. They shall be driven on, which means forced out, and fall thereon, which means slip in the steps. For I will bring evil upon them, even, that means just as the year of their visitation, saith the Lord. See the word year of visitation? We're in that time. We're in the year of visitation, where the Lord is visiting the church with gifts, but he's visiting the heathen, okay, with war, famine, and pestilence. The four horsemen, they're busy at work. Okay, now when the sixth seal is open, that's when the rapture takes place. Verse 13, and I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal. They spoke by a seducing spirit, pretending to be the voice of God. And many worshippers were snared by the visions in their dreams, which were spoken in pretense, the pretense of promise of even better things to come. So I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, caused my people to err. They're removing nails from the structure of covenant. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. Why, they commit adultery. They walk in lies. They pursue the visions of their own making and confirm the aspirations of the rich, saying the blessing of Abraham is upon you. Okay, they bless the rich. The rich were using their wealth as a sign of Abraham's blessing. They were in good with God. They were in favor with God, but they weren't. We can see that that's what's happening here. They have strengthened the hands also of the evildoers. Okay, and none of them returns from his wickedness. Why would they? They're receiving the blessing of the false prophet. Okay, why would they want to turn from that and lose face? Okay, they are all of them, even as Sodom and the inhabitants of them as Gomorrah. Highlight the word Sodom and Gomorrah. They're building their own philosophies of life. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, verse 15, concerning the prophets. Look now to this. Because he's saying, my spirit and influence will be this. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood. Now you can understand, highlight the word wormwood there, because that's what you see in the book of Revelation. The third judgment. When the third trumpet sounds, as the apostle, chief elder apostle John said, and I saw a star, okay, and it was called wormwood. And what did it do? It made bitter and poisonous the third part of the waters of the earth. Okay, and this is what it is. It's false knowledge. Wormwood is false knowledge. It's a confirmation. When wormwood hits the earth, okay, after the rapture, when wormwood hits the earth, it's in confirmation of the knowledge which they embraced through the beast. Behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. I will force their lips to swallow this kind of sewage. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness, the knowledge that is faithless, and why is also preached by their students. Okay, for the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone forth into all the land, and their evangelists in all places are doing nothing more than spoiling more souls. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord of hosts. He's saying, Jeremiah, I want you to warn these people from me not to hearken to these false prophets. Don't listen to these evangelists. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you that make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart. So I might want to highlight that. They speak a vision of their own heart. And not out of the mouth of the Lord, which of course comes through stewardship. They say still, okay, these false ministers, they refuse to accept God's reproof. They deny the government, as Jeremiah. They say still unto them that despise me, Jeremiah's stewardship, the Lord has said, we shall have peace. And they say to everyone that walks after the imagination of their own heart, no evil shall come upon you, while they promise resolve, but yet they possess no wisdom. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? Hide the word counsel of the Lord. None of these. They never stood in the counsel of the Lord. We stand in the counsel of the Lord. Whatever God has revealed, okay, we await concerning wisdom, okay, and procedure. That's what we do, and that's what Moses did, that's what we do. Okay, even the first century apostles did the same thing. They didn't go to the Gentiles until the revelation came and the door was open to the Gentiles. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and who has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Verse 19, behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has come forth in fury, which means tornadoes of destruction. We can see that a lot happening. Tornadoes are turning over churches. They're tearing down the places of Baal. Now, these churches don't represent the covenant of Jesus Christ. They represent a form of theology, okay, which they embraced 100 years ago and still some of the new stuff today. All right, and I shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked, okay, those that follow their religious aspirations and them that claim that I spoke to them. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, this council stands. It stood then, thousands of years ago, and it's happening now. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly, this council. Well, you shall see the parallel in the church. That's what he's saying. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, these ministers. I have sent these ministers, yet they ran. They wrote columns and papers. They put out, they wrote magazine articles. They go on, they say, the religious media. They have their own stations, their own channels. Yet they ran. They feel they got a message. They see something, they read something. Okay, they imagine something, and then they preach something. Okay, it's all polluted, contaminated. Okay, it's full of worms. It's bad fruit, bad, evil figs. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Okay, that means to hold the eyes of those who they wish to admire to draw support and confirmation of their aspiration. But if they had stood in my counsel, like the word my counsel again, if these prophets stood in a divine plan in this covenant and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way, their idols of theology, and from the evil of their doings, which are now cursed with war, famine, and pestilence. They would not be at a war right now. They would not have a collapsed church by a tornado. Okay, they would not have suffered loss by flood, okay, or their houses riddled with bullets, okay, by gangs. Am I not a God at hand, saith the Lord? My time of visitation is here now. And it's the same thing now in the second eighth week. We'll be talk about that in a second here. I am a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. All right, can any hide himself in secret places that I should not see? That I shall not see him, saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. We can hide the word, do not I fill heaven and earth, which means, because my spirit expands to the ultimate boundaries I set in myself. There is no place uninhabited by me. This is who I am, the Father of all spirits. So do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. I have heard what the prophets said. That prophesy lies in my name. Now when he says here, in my name, it says, it's unsanctified, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart and their own visions and dreams, which think to cause my people to forget my name. This is the covenant tokens. Okay, that's what the seducing spirit is doing. He's redirecting the eyes of the people to vain things, like the music ministry is a good example of that. Okay, people are focused on music ministry, which then becomes nothing more than role-playing. A lot of carnal aesthetics, like Hillsong. Okay, Hillsong, okay, was a lot of aesthetics of music, promoting all kinds of new voices and new songs about Jesus. Okay, now that whole system is collapsing. Every system's collapsing. Okay, but not those in covenant. It would stink to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have substituted or have forgotten my name for Baal. Okay, they substituted my name for Baal. Okay, the covenant for the tokens that speak lies. The prophet that has a dream, let him dream, and he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Okay, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? What are the bad figs to the good figs? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord? And this is a fire that we speak. We speak fire charity. Is that my word? The knowledge of my kingdom spoken in this manner. The manner of purging, challenging, humbling the heart. Hey, saith the Lord. And like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. The hammer that breaks the rock or the wall. It breaks the wall down, reducing it to gravel. Hey, everything that the false religious system has built will be broken down by the hammer of God. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words. They purloin the knowledge which I have spoken. They take it and make self-application to represent themselves. They steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Okay, behold, verse 31, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith that God spoke to me. Okay, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord. and do tell them, and cause my people to err. They follow these promises. You see it all the time when you go onto Facebook or Twitter. You could read all these things in Crimson Magazine. It is profound to see the error that these people are taking the church. Okay, they cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. They disregard the outcome and careless attitude. Yet I have not sent them, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. All their efforts will loop to failure. Okay, we talked about that. Okay, now let's also go to Genesis. Hey, we talk about the name of the Lord now, that the name of our Lord may be glorified in you and you in him. You see that verse 12? According to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. See the word grace there. We talked about that. The revelation that the Father put in himself for your redemption. Okay, and also in the fire of the fire of his throne. This all began by this revelation. We're going to Genesis now. Okay, Genesis chapter 17. Okay, so let's go to Genesis chapter 17. We'll be reading a few verses there. And chapter 17, we'll start around verse 18. Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." Okay, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you," he says here. He's 13 years old. Won't he be my next steward for this promise? Well, Ishmael be the gate. Isaac became the gate concerning truth. Okay, because Isaac had that which is of the true stewardship and house. Okay, and we see the same thing today. Many people are baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received the spark of that enlightenment. They received the fire of the adoption, but they never enter into the house of the Lord. Okay, the covenant of Jesus Christ is absent in their counsel. Okay, and God said here in verse 19, "Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. Only those I select be worthy of adoption, of faith." Sarah is a woman of faith. "Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son indeed, and you shall call his name Isaac." This is to carry my new tradition, which I'm going to give to you, and I will establish my covenant with him. He will be the door. Remember, it was Isaac that laid upon the altar. Okay, Isaac laying upon the altar is revealing to us and regarding the door, okay, which has to do with the door of our redemption, will be through the covenant of this sacrifice. Okay, Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. He is the door. Okay, he is the covenant of sacrifice. All right, with him for an everlasting covenant and with the seed after him. This tradition be carried on perpetually, and the tradition of faith and not idols. Okay, and as for Ishmael, I elected him for a parable. All right, and in him also I put a sign and as a warning to the double-minded, okay, which profess my name, but sow discord. Hey, okay, we just read about that in Jeremiah. They profess my name, but sow discord, the false prophets. Ishmael was going to be put as an example. Okay, he had 12 sons. Also, Jacob had 12 sons. The 12 sons were also revealed in the book of Enoch. Okay, and so Ishmael stole that to himself, but it was given by promise to Jacob. Okay, and as for Ishmael, "I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful and multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget. For iniquity to prosper, this has to be a counterfeit to force the believers to build and to separate." There has to be a counterfeit for contrast. Okay, there has to be a counterfeit for contrast. Okay, "and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I'll make him a great nation." Okay, a blessing, but no covenant. We see the same thing in a false religious system today. "But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, okay, which Sarah shall bear unto you at the set time next year." The appointed time. Okay, 1 year from now, he says, this will come about. And God here, he left off talking with Abraham, and God went up. He ascended up from Abraham, as also Jesus ascended up. Okay, now let's go back to Thessalonians here. Make sure you have your sacrifices ready. Okay, so now circumcision of the foreskin God gave Abraham, his wife Sarah, to be his covering. Okay, so as to teach us this parable. The parable of stewardship joined and covered by the priesthood being concealed, okay, in the woman as the holy city New Jerusalem is the mother of us all. We see that in Hebrews 11:10. Okay, he looked for a city which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. Okay, the testimony of Abraham was that of the eternal city. Okay, and that which was concealed, invisible, was also put within the parable of Sarah. So Abraham was 100 years old when he circumcised Isaac on the eighth day. Now, I might want to keep in mind the eighth day. Okay, the eighth day was a day that was selected, which would be divided. Okay, as Ishmael and Isaac, they were divided. Now, Ishmael was 13, Abraham was 90 when Ishmael was circumcised. Now, the number 8 is selected time of the true circumcision, which is by the steward, sanctified steward. Okay, now Ishmael and Hagar were forced to leave when Ishmael was about 26 years old. Okay, and at the time of Isaac, when he was weaned at 3 years old, Ishmael was about 26 when Isaac was weaned at 3 years old. Now, so we see at this point of the point of separation that the elder must serve the younger, but the elder rebelled. They took the circumcision outside of the covenant. We see the same thing today. Okay, the circumcision of this baptism is taken outside the covenant and becomes uncircumcision. It becomes invalid because the work of regeneration must be accompanied on that foundation of truth, okay, or else is profaned. It's made void. Okay, the circumcision becomes uncircumcision. It becomes void and immobilized. Immobilized. It doesn't go anywhere. It stays in a state of decay. That which was sown was good seed, as the scriptures bear that out. Didn't you sow good seed in your field? Yes, I did. And why does it bear tares? Hey, an evil one has done this. Hey, an evil one. The question is, oh Lord, isn't everybody that's filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, that good seed? No, it's not. But Satan has sown in the field another form of knowledge. But both shall grow together until the time of the end. At the time of the end, the angels shall be sent forth, which is happening now. The angels are sent forth, and they shall separate the good from the bad. Okay, those which bear the mark of his sanctification to those which bear the mark of the unsanctified. So we see the circumcision of both. We can see the separation of both, because the circumcision bears a sign, but it can also be blasphemed, as we see that happened with Ishmael.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.